I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And we're Frangela.
You know what you need in your life? The Final Word Podcast.
Yes, you do.
That's right. It is the final word on all things political and pop cultural.
Where we make real news real funny.
Where we inspire you so you can hashtag resist.
Subscribe and get a new episode of the Final Word Podcast each week. It's the news we think you need to hear.
That's right. We think you need to hear it. Okay.
Yeah, it's what we say so.
That's right. And because all we do is give, every Thursday you can listen to our hysterical podcast, Idiot of the Week.
We round up the stupid because you know what? Somebody has to.
Okay. All we do is give.
Hi, this is John Cryer, and I am hosting a new 7-part true crime podcast called Lawyers, Guns, and Money. That'll challenge everything you think you know about U.S. covert operations and presidential misconduct. From Jack Bryan, the director of American PSYOP, comes the incredible true story of John Mattis, a newly sworn-in Miami public defender in the 1980s who has found himself completely in over his head.
I step off the plane, and there is a van with a couple guys with Uzis. And one of them in broken English said, "Welcome to Bogota, John."
Mattis's first felony defendant has been arrested for having a machine gun and tells Mattis a dangerous secret.
He was shipping arms into Central America on behalf of the CIA. As a first-time lawyer, I want to act like I know what I'm doing.
But with the help of a Colombian drug smuggler...
How much money the CIA raised by hitting up drug dealers?
A lot of money, millions of dollars.
An Alabama mercenary...
They were prepared to die to the last man. I saw this in them. I saw the fire in their eyes. And they made me their war chief.
And a newly elected senator, John Kerry.
We are looking at allegations of drug running, gun smuggling, conspiracy to commit murder and murder itself.
He'll fight to free his client.
The judge said, "Show me in a courtroom how we were at war."
Expose an illegal war being run by the White House.
I mean, I wanted him involved, but I didn't want to be on record as doing it.
And somehow stay alive in the process.
I just escaped a kidnapping by the CIA in Costa Rica.
This is Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
So you have a man in an Armani suit standing on the bow of a boat with a rocket launcher and says, "If I lose sight of you, I will launch. You will be vaporized."
Available everywhere starting October 29th, or get it ad-free and early starting October 22nd at lawyersgunsandmoney.supercast.com. There you'll find bonus episodes along with exclusive content. Subscribe now.
MSW Media.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Beans for Thursday, April 11th, 2024. Today, Donald Trump loses yet another bid to delay the election interference trial. Alan Weisselberg gets 5 months in prison for perjury. House Republicans block a FISA bill. Arizona Republicans block a repeal of the 1864 abortion ban. An RFK Jr. campaign official attended the January 6th Stop the Steal rally. Speaker Johnson will give a press conference with Trump at Mar-a-Lago Friday. And the Trump media director is accused of hacking files in an attempted coup d'etat at Truth Social. I'm Allison Gill.
And I'm Dana Goldberg.
Seriously, my friend Jack Bryan, who wrote and directed Active Measures, he's a good friend of mine. He tweeted out, he's like, you know, the fact that all of the leadership at Truth Social are suing each other to be able to short sell this stock is not a good look for shareholders.
No.
Like, they're desperately trying to unload this shit and they can't. It is down another almost 10% today, Dana. My God.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Super sad for him and all of his losses.
Couldn't happen to a better group of people.
Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, every day for him sucks and every day after will be worse. So yay. Also, all of our shows are on sale now. You can get all the tickets you want at allisongill.com. They are selling out fast, so go grab them. And Dana, you've got tickets available at danagoldberg.com for your show tomorrow night, your birthday show.
I know. Oh my God. Considering you're listening to this Thursday. Yeah, my birthday show Friday night. There's still some tickets available at danagoldberg.com. Just go to my appearances page. It's the first one on there. And I also just added a bunch of other galas that I'm going to be at. We've got the Beans link there too. If for some reason you're on my side and not Allison's, for Portland and Seattle, those are up. So lots of stuff going on. And I hope to see some of you all on Friday. Make sure you come say hi.
Yes, you must see Dana perform if you're anywhere near the Fort Lauderdale area. And I hear Sunshine Cathedral is just gorgeous. So
yeah, I'm excited to be in the venue. The guys running it are just phenomenal.
Oh, wonderful. I absolutely love that. There's good people everywhere. And that is a testament to that.
Mm-hmm.
April 20th, me, Andy McCabe, Pete Strzok, Harry Dunn, Danny Hodges, Olivia Troy, Charlotte Clymer. We're all going to be at the Patron MSW Meetup, the gala. I'm buying everybody dinner and drinks, cocktails and mocktails. And if you're going, thank you. Thank you for being a patron. Thanks for supporting independent media. If you want to become a patron and get tickets to these kinds of events, we have them all the time. Or you can want pre-sale show tickets, or you want to get this show ad-free and early. I mean, there's all sorts of benefits, and it's just like $36 for a whole year. Just go to patreon.com/MullerSheWrote and sign up, and we would love to welcome you into the patron leguminati.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I mean, it's so much fun. I love this community so much.
You can have a blast.
Yeah, it is totally. And I know you and me, Dana, we're going to be both of us in Portland and Seattle. And those VIP meet and greet tickets are super fun. We hang out with you before the show for like an hour and chat.
Yep.
Take selfies and whatnot. It's fun. People ask me to sign weird stuff. One time a guy brought in the Mueller report and asked me to sign it.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, sure. Yeah, I'll sign your Mueller report. Hell yeah.
You know, before we go on, because we've got a lot of news, but one of the things we didn't cover in the last couple episodes, I just wanted to wish those who celebrate a happy Ramadan. Yeah, I went for a walk this morning in New York, and in Washington Square, there was just massive, massive group of just beautiful people, Muslims, Palestinians, anyone who celebrates Ramadan. They were there and listening to an incredibly poignant speaker. And I got teary, obviously, for everything that's going on around the world. And I feel like I'm going to do that again. So I'm just sending love to those who do celebrate Ramadan. And you are part of our family, and hopefully you see us as part of yours. And I hope that I don't even know if you say happy Ramadan, because I believe it's an entire month of fasting, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
G. Yeah. And so it was incredibly powerful, but I just want to acknowledge that as well. And for those who celebrate, I hope it has been a peaceful holiday for you, even
yes.
with everything going on in the world.
Well said, Eid Mubarak. And, we see you and thank you for listening. All right. Like you said, we have a ton of news to get to, but we have some quick hits.
And to make a long story short, too late.
All right, Dana, our friend Alan Weisselberg had a plea deal for two counts of perjury. And you'll remember this was because he lied on the stand about, no, I know nothing about the 30,000 square foot triplex apartment, when the Forbes guy came forward and said, oh, really? Because here's a bunch of emails between you and me about it.
Those. Yep. Yeah, that one. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So they and the government agreed to 5 months, government being Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan district attorney. And so he came dressed in sweatpants and stuff. He was ready to go. And they put him in handcuffs, took him away. It was a two minute long sentencing hearing. And so Weisselberg's back in the poke now for 5 months. That's going to suck for him. I can't figure out why people are willing to go to jail for Donald Trump. He had to pay back the couple million dollars. Well, he got half of the $2 million that Trump gave him to obfuscate the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to give that back. And he's still willing to go to prison for this dude. And it's not unbelievable. It's just weird. Like, if everybody just stood up, nobody would have to go to prison except for him.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree. These people can get deals left and right.
I just don't get it. And so he's gone away for 5 months. I'm sure Pete Strzok and I will check out the commissary list on the next episode of Cleanup on L45. But also, you know, because of this perjury, now the New York Attorney General is asking Judge Angoron to have Barbara Jones, the fiscal monitor, look mm-hmm. into this, because these emails were supposed to be handed over in discovery and they weren't. And so now she's asking them to investigate. She's asking the court to investigate whether or not Donald Trump facilitated the perjury, like suborned
wow.
the lie. Did you tell him to lie? Did you withhold these emails on purpose? And she's given only a couple weeks, or she's asking for that investigation to be done in 2 weeks. So hopefully maybe we'll hear more about it soon.
All right, AG. And for the third straight day, a New York appeals court has rejected an attempt by Donald Trump's lawyers to delay Donald's election interference criminal trial. Barring yet another appeal, the first of Trump's four criminal trials. First of four criminal trials. He is the leader on the Republican ticket. That's going to start as scheduled on Monday, that first trial. That's a Stormy Daniels case. This appeal was about trying to recuse Justice Merchan and another attempt on keeping some evidence out of trial based on immunity. This is the 10th denial delay motion in recent weeks. And not surprising that Trump doesn't understand that no means no.
Yeah, we're not
surprised. Taken 10 times.
Yeah, I think he's finding out that the law sometimes does apply to him. And I think that that's going to continue to be a rude awakening as we go forward everywhere except, you know, with Eileen Cannon.
Yeah.
Down in Florida. But I mean, my God, he just keeps trying to delay this thing and here it comes. And it doesn't seem like anything's going to stop it. Now, these appeals still exist. Like, he just can't stop the trial while he appeals. Make sense?
Right. Yeah. Yep.
He was wanting to adjourn the trial until they were solved. And everybody is like, there's been like 14 different judges who have told him no on over 10 motions in the last couple of months. It's bad. And a New York-based campaign official for RFK Jr., her name is Rita Palmer. She's the person who raised the possibility that voting for the independent presidential candidate would help Trump, right? She's the one who admitted to that in a video. And she apparently promoted false claims that the 2020 election was rigged and attended the Stop the Steal rally the election, including the rally on January 6th in D.C. that preceded the deadly attack on the Capitol. So, yay. How long have we, since RFK Jr. threw his hat in the ring, we knew he was funded and mm-hmm. by dark Trump money and is trying to help Trump win. So anyway, those are the quick hits today. We have more news. Let's hit the hot notes. Hot notes. All right, this is from Mary Jo Pitzel at AZ Central. The GOP-controlled Arizona House quickly gaveled out of session after lawmakers attempted to repeal the 1864 near-total abortion ban the state Supreme Court ruled could go into effect. So, Dana, this isn't just something that the Supreme Court did. This is something that now Republicans in Arizona are actively protecting.
Oh, boy.
Democrats, aided by one GOP lawmaker, were stopped by the Republican majority. Rep. Matt Gress, a Republican from Phoenix, motioned to bring a bill to repeal the 1864 ban, but was thwarted by Rep. David Livingston from Peoria, who motioned for a recess to avoid a vote on the bill. Although Gress made the motion, he also sided with his GOP colleagues to pause the session, bringing any action to a halt. So he wants it both ways. He wants to be like, I introduced a bill to repeal, but then I voted to table it, so we couldn't do anything mm-hmm. about it. House Democrats then chanted shame and save women's lives while pointing at their Republican colleagues across the aisle who began to leave the floor. Reps Annalise Ortiz and Oscar de los Santos, both Phoenix Democrats, led a group of Democratic lawmakers across the aisle to shout at Gress while he spoke with reporters, calling him out for sponsoring fetal personhood bills. Among those were measures that would have allowed child support and tax credits to be paid during pregnancy, enhanced domestic violence penalties for people who assaulted pregnant women, and allowed pregnant women to use HOV lanes. These bills were either vetoed by Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs or died in committee because they are based on the premise that a fetus is a person.
Right.
Right. It would be like, you know, I hear a lot of people saying, well, they should pay child support at the moment of conception going back. Mm-hmm. They should be able to use the HOV lane, et cetera. But that is conceding that the fetus is a person. So you can't have those. Now, Ortiz filmed Gress as she approached him, and it's all over social media. Do not fall for it, she shouted. He does not care about the women who will die because of this horrific ban. Democrats were furious, claiming Gress was trying to save his seat in the upcoming election, where he's running in a competitive district. They claimed he was playing politics with an issue that has major impacts on Arizonans' lives, and he is. Rep. Stephanie Stahl Hamilton, Democrat from Tucson, introduced the Bill Gress motion to revive, but it never received a hearing in any of the three committees it was assigned to back in January. Stahl Hamilton said it doesn't matter to her how the ban gets repealed, just that it does. The outburst is very unusual for the House floor. The shouting continued for several minutes as Gress tried to respond to the reporters. De Los Santos and Democrats won't give up on their attempts to get the vote to repeal the ban. Quote, "We will do everything in our power to protect Arizonans from this territorial ban," he said. "It may look different on different days." De Los Santos said the message of Wednesday's protest was the Republicans voted to uphold the territorial abortion bill. It's unclear when the House will come back to the floor. And the Arizona Senate passed several bills, by the way, today, Wednesday, before adjourning until next week. But none of them had to do with abortion.
Thanks so much, AG. And from the Associated Press, House Speaker Mike Johnson will meet on Friday with Donald Trump for a press conference on election integrity at the presumed Republican presidential nominee's Mar-a-Lago Club. A Trump campaign official told us this. The joint appearance comes as the embattled Johnson is fighting for his job as House Speaker in the face of a threat of ouster from hardline Republican and Looney Tune Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene. And as we know, she is a top Trump ally. I would call her more of a bottom feeder, but however they want to write this is fine. Johnson of Louisiana told GOP lawmakers at a private meeting early Tuesday he had spoken with Trump the night before, but he shared no details of their talk. Another person familiar with the planning said Johnson and Trump will have a, quote, joint announcement on Friday, but provided no other details. AG, can you remember any time in history where this has happened?
No.
Yeah, no.
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 I mean, we know Trump is just telling, because we're supposed to be bringing Ukraine to a vote funding next week. And I'm sure it's Donald Trump saying, don't do it. I'm sure he's got a behind the scenes deal with Putin. Help me win in 2024.
Oh, for sure.
And I will kill the Ukraine aid. I'm 100%.
Absolutely. The new Republican speaker, once skeptical of Trump, by the way, became a key supporter, not surprising because they all seem to. He led one of the main legal challenges to the 2020 election in the run-up to January 6, 21 attack on the U.S. Capitol by the mob of Trump supporters trying to stop certification of Joe Biden's victory. Since becoming the House Speaker after the ouster last fall of Kevin McCarthy, Johnson has tried to keep a close relationship with Trump. The two speak regularly as Johnson works to keep critics at bay. Perhaps they also, what is that, monitor each other's porn use? We don't know.
Oh,
maybe that's just a son's job. Yep. The issue of election integrity has been an obsession for Trump since he lost the 2020 election, even though elections are broadly secure. Every state in the union certified its 2020 results that were sent to Congress. Green met with Johnson at the Capitol on Tuesday as she works to force a snap election to remove him from office. Johnson offered to keep her a spot on a proposed, quote, kitchen cabinet of advisors to the speaker. This was what she said as she left the nearly hour-long session. But she said she was more interested in how he handles several issues before Congress, particularly aid for Ukraine, which she opposes.
Yeah.
She has not publicly discussed when she may bring up the motion to vacate and told reporters she does not yet have a red line for bringing up the action. Johnson's planned meeting with Trump, that was first reported on CNN. So a lot of people sharing the story at this point, but it's just all so gross and all roads lead back to Putin.
So yeah, so all their witnesses for impeachment are all Russian spies. One of them's been indicted. And, you know, they continue to block aid to Ukraine while trying to keep an investigation open into the Bidens.
Yeah.
This is how everyone and their mother can't see what's happening is totally beyond me. All right. This is from CBS. A bill that would reauthorize a crucial national security surveillance program was blocked Wednesday by a conservative revolt in the House, pushing the prospects of final passage into uncertainty amid a looming deadline. The legislative impasse also follows an edict earlier in the day from the former president to kill the measure. Gosh, a measure that would help us spy on Russians. The legislative breakdown comes months after similar process to reform and reauthorize the surveillance program fell apart before it even reached the House floor. Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican of Louisiana, has called the program critically important, but has struggled to find a path forward on the issue, which has been plagued by partisan bickering for years. The procedural vote to bring up the bill failed 193 to 228. 19 Republicans voted no. Guess which 19? Mm-hmm. The bill under consideration would renew the surveillance program with a series of reforms meant to satisfy critics who complained of civil liberties violations against Americans. But Republican critics complained that those changes didn't go far enough, calling into doubt whether the bill backed by the Biden administration and Speaker Johnson would have enough votes to advance. At issue is something called Section 702 in the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA. Okay, so FISA, F stands for foreign. Okay, I just want to put that out there. In FISA, the F stands for foreign. It permits the U.S. government to collect without a warrant the communications of foreigners located outside the country, non-Americans, outside of America, to gather foreign intelligence. It's set to expire April 19th if Congress does nothing. U.S. officials have said the tool, first authorized in 2008 and renewed several times since then, is crucial in disrupting terror attacks, cyber intrusions, and foreign espionage, and has also produced intelligence that the U.S. had relied on for specific operations. So when Trump says we used FISA to spy on his campaign, we did not. We used FISA to intercept foreign bad guys' communications.
With they possibly just, Trump.
They just happened to be talking to a fellow named Carter Page. Okay. And this was after he left the campaign. Anyway, the administration's efforts to secure reauthorization of FISA have encountered fierce bipartisan pushback. Democrats who have long championed civil liberties, like Senator Ron Wyden, have aligned with some Republican supporters of Trump, who in a post on Truth Social Wednesday stated incorrectly that Section 702 had been used to spy on his presidential campaign. "Kill FISA," he wrote in capital letters. "It was illegally used against me and many others. They spied on my campaign." A former advisor to his 2016 campaign was targeted over potential ties to Russia under a different section of the surveillance law. So it's not even the same fucking section of FISA that they used to intercept Russian communications, bad guys in Russia who talked to Carter Page. Okay. And Carter Page has long been an informant before that at the FBI. On the Russians. Okay, specific area of concern for lawmakers has centered on the FBI's use of the vast intelligence repository to look up information about Americans and others in the United States. Now, though the surveillance program only targets non-Americans in foreign countries, it also collects communications of Americans when they're in contact with those targeted foreign people who aren't in America. Now, of course, their names are hidden from view, and you actually have to get a warrant to unmask them. In the past year, U.S. officials have revealed a series of abuses and mistakes by FBI analysts in improperly querying the intelligence repository for information about Americans or others in the U.S., including about a member of Congress and participants in the radical justice protests of 2020. I wouldn't call them radical. I would call them peaceful and amazing. And the January 6th riot at the Capitol. I wouldn't call it a riot. I would call it an insurrection. But okay. Those violations have led to demands for the FBI to have a warrant before conducting database queries on Americans, which you actually do. FBI Director Chris Wray has warned would effectively gut the effectiveness of the program and was also legally unnecessary since the database contained already lawfully collected information. See, I told you. While it's imperative that we ensure this critical authority of 702 doesn't lapse, we must also not undercut the effectiveness of this essential tool with a warrant requirement or some other similar restriction, paralyzing our ability to tackle fast-moving threats. That's what Wray said in a speech Tuesday. Johnson made a fresh push for passage on Wednesday, saying it's critical we address these abuses because we don't want to be able to lose Section 702. It is critically important. It's a very important piece of our intelligence and law enforcement in this country. Though the program would technically expire April 19th, the Biden administration says it expects its authority to collect intelligence to remain operational for another year, thanks to an earlier opinion from a foreign intelligence surveillance court, which oversees the surveillance applications.
Thank you, AG. Last in this section is from NBC. Investment firms led by the former CEO of the SPAC that merged with Donald Trump's media company alleged that their files were hacked and stolen by a current member of the media company's board of directors. This is a hot fucking mess, bag of rats, by the way, this whole thing. In a federal civil lawsuit filed in South Florida last month, the firms accuse board member Eric Swider of plotting a coup, okay, in early 2023 to replace Patrick Orlando as the CEO of the Special Purpose Acquisition Corp, Digital World Acquisition. As part of that attempted ouster, Swider and others allegedly, quote, stole access to the firm's computer systems and then used the stolen information to attack Orlando. It was, quote, an audacious scheme to seize control of and enlarge their holdings. This is what the suit claims, which was filed by Benassir Investment Group and ARK Global Investments II, or the second. The suit seeks damages and an injunction, quote, prohibiting the use of the stolen information and to stop the defendants hacking. This is what the firm's files. Orlando was fired from Digital World in March of 2023 and replaced by Swider. I know this is a little hard to follow. That blank check company last month completed a merger to take Trump Media and Technology Group Corp public, allowing it to trade on the NASDAQ. Now, the company, which owns the Trump-centric social media app Truth Social and trades under the ticker DJT, soared in its stock market debut, but has since erased all of those gains and more. Oops. On Wednesday alone, the share price fell nearly 9% since 1st of April. The stock has almost lost 45% of its value. It's hard not to giggle. The Florida lawsuit, by the way, is just one series of messy and dramatic legal disputes that have come to define Trump Media's rocky road to an IPO and its equally turbulent first weeks as a public company.
Yet they don't even mention the fact that three people have been indicted, two pled guilty.
Yeah. That's missing because they're like, where do we cover it all? DWAC in July settled fraud charges with the Securities and Exchange Commission, though the agency found the SPAC had submitted, quote, materially false and misleading filings. Not surprising. Trump Media in late March sued its co-founders over alleged mismanagement of the merger and is seeking to bar them from owning the company's stock. Those co-founders, they've sued Trump Media in Delaware Chancery Court over their stake in the company. Critics, meanwhile, AG, they've labeled the company a meme stock and a scam. They point to the company's reported loss of $58.2 million on revenue of just $4.1 million in 2023. Trump Media did not immediately respond to CNBC's request for comment on the lawsuit. Emails sent to addresses that belonged to Swider and co-defendant Alexander Kano, DWAC's former president, they didn't receive any responses from them. In an interview with Wired, which first reported the lawsuit early Wednesday, Swider denied all of the allegations against him. The Florida lawsuit, which was filed shortly before the late March merger, presents Orlando as successful in his efforts to DWAC into a merger agreement with Trump Media. It alleges that Swider misled DWAC's directors and business partners by publishing, quote, false and misleading representations of what was occurring at the company. He also allegedly, quote, offered outsized compensation to the other directors he enlisted to collude with him in exchange for supporting his coup d'etat. Yeah, this whole thing is a mess. To access that account, which stores the lifeblood, that's what they're saying, of both investment firms, Swider allegedly enlisted Kano, Orlando's former assistant. The firms accused Swider of promising to make Kano the president of DWAC in exchange for access to the account.
Ooh.
Yep, Kano agreed, and Swider made good on his promise while also providing Kano with a convertible note worth 165,000 shares of DWAC stock, an award valued at more than $6 million at the time, by the way. This is what the suit alleges. This whole thing is a mess. It's going to continue to unravel. And it's we're seeing it on the NASDAQ. I mean, this is falling fast.
Real Housewives of Truth Social.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's happening.
It is good stuff. It's hard to follow, though. I mean, this whole, if there was any sort of a PowerPoint presentation we could give you on the names and where they worked, we'd do it. But man, we'll keep reporting on these stories.
Basically, Swider wanted to be president so he could get all the stock shares. Mm-hmm. So he had his buddy Kano. I keep wanting to call him Kato because I watch too much Pink Panther. Kato? So he had his buddy Kano, who had access, give him access to Orlando's email. Orlando was in charge. And released all of Orlando's emails, all the dirt on Orlando. And in exchange, Swider gave Kano something worth $6 million. Of course, it's 165,000 shares, so it's probably not going to be worth much at the end.
Yeah, right now, what? That comes out to 82,500 shares if this thing is cut in half. I mean, basically, he has the same amount of shares, but that's what they're worth at this point.
Yeah, so funny. That's funny. That's funny to me. We'll keep watching. we'll keep, like,
how can you turn away?
It's the Days of Our Lives music and my, you know, it like sands through the hourglass. These are the days of our DWAC.
So good.
It's just a fucking soap opera, and it's not going to get any better anytime soon. So we'll keep an eye on it for you. We have to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with the good news. If you have good news to send to us, send it to us at dailybeanspod.com and click on contact. Stick around. We'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Everybody, welcome back. It's time for the good news.
Who likes good news, everyone? Then good news, everyone.
Good news, good news. And if you have any good news, confessions, corrections, you want to play What the Fark is in your arc, or send us a pod pet pick, we would love to see it. And if you don't have pod pet tax to pay, you can send us an adoptable pet in your area, and we will see if we can help find a forever home for them. If you have shit kids say, I love those, or something you just realized, I was today years old when, I would love to hear about that. Self shout outs are wonderful. Tell us the amazing stuff you're doing. Shout outs to loved ones, small businesses in your area, your small business, or your big business, whatever you're doing. Send that into us. If you have student debt relief stories, I'm getting ready to put those together and sending them over to the White House. They were very interested, and I will continue to send those as we get them. Send those to us. Any thesis titles, dissertation titles, those are fun. Any baby pictures, frog orgy pictures, and or stories, send them to us. Dailybeanspod.com and click on contact. First up, from Computer Bob. Pronouns he and him. Two things. First, every time you ask people to send their thesis titles, my 12-year-old boy brain thinks you said feces titles, and I chuckle at the thought of people adding titles to their poop. Now, if you've noticed over the last few days, I've changed it to thesis, and I've used the singular because people
it's confusing.
I'm thinking, although you send us your feces titles. Hey, you know.
Hey, let's not.
Okay. Second, for loan forgiveness. We paid off my wife's loans last year. I had a feeling that we could wait for Biden, but since we couldn't afford it, we just went ahead and sent them the final $5,000 check to get rid of the debt. Unlike the Republicans, I don't hate on people that are getting relief just because we paid ours ourselves. Empathy appears to be a Democrat-only trait nowadays. For pet tax, here is a pic of Tucker and his favorite toy. It vibrates and makes noises when he throws it around. Computer Bob, thank you for saying that, because, you know, whenever I see people on social media, why do I have to pay for your student debt? First of all, we're erasing interest, and you're not paying any. It's not like we're taking taxpayer dollars to make people's student loan payments. Okay. These are federal. They're making them go away. And secondly, like I've long said, you know, my father passed away from a cancer in the 90s. And that doesn't stop me from wanting to find a cure for cancer. I'm not going to be out there saying, nope, I had to have a loved one die of cancer. You have to too. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me at all. So
usually it's a bunch of Republicans also bitching on Twitter that they, oh, why should we have, you know, these loans forgiven and wouldn't have a taxpayer pay? And luckily there's a bunch of people that are like, why did we have to have the PPP loans forgiven and the tax money, you know, the taxpayers pay? You know, it's all these Republicans that had these massive PPP loans forgiven.
Multiple PPP loans. Yeah. And, you know, and my response to the people who are like, why should I have to pay for your debt? I'm like, you know what? I have to pay taxes because you don't. I have to pay the tax bill for billionaires. So,
yeah, true.
And, you know, 12% of my taxes goes to national defense. Maybe there's some shit national defense I disagree with. We pay fucking taxes.
Absolutely.
That's what we do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, AG. This is from Dan. We're going to pick it up a little bit. Pronouns he and him. Good morning, AG, DG, and all Illuminati. I have a habit of making bad jokes when things are extremely bad. Me too. You can only pile shit so high before it becomes ridiculous. I just thought of a cosplay based on the Arizona court decision. Steampunk OBGYN. Not sure if patients would appreciate the amount of gears and steam. If we are going to have laws from Victorian era, might as well highlight that. Pet tax, that would actually make a really great ad, by the way. Pet tax is the sweetest boy, Bootsy, who needs ACL surgery this summer. He'll never make it to the pros now. Thank you for calling out the bullshit and bringing the good news, too. Dan, you are welcome, and thank you for this cute picture of Bootsy.
Look at this adorable little baby face.
Cute pie.
I want to give scritches behind the ears and on the belly and the chesties. Okay. Next up from Marsha, pronouns she and her. Hi, Queens O'Beans. I have a shout out to standing up for our dreams. Through the 7 years I spent writing my memoir, people said no one would publish it because I'm a non-celebrity. Well, four publishers wanted it. It came out in October to great reviews. And I'm now getting speaking invitations to help others who might be dealing with some of the trauma I overcame. I can't even describe how moved and honored I am to have this opportunity. And here's my what the mutt. Her name is Headline, and she's always at the door when I come home. So the book is called The Wrong Calamity by Marsha Jacobson. And excellent, excellent advice. Standing up for your dreams.
Look at and this little mop dog.
That's adorable.
So cute.
That's great.
Okay. This is from Miriam. Pronouns she and her. Hi, Allison. I have to disagree with the person who wrote in about yours and Olivia's comments on county fairs. After all, quote, not all white people is also a trope that the defensive go-to. I used to love my county fair in upstate New York when I first moved here. The children with their animals and projects, they were and are indeed lovely. And the church people with their food tents are nice and friendly. I never went in for demolition derby and rides. I've spent an enjoyable afternoon during fair week meandering, watching, looking, and shopping. But over the last decade, I've become aware that black people are not welcome and Confederate flags are. Every year, there is a pre-fair argument about whether fairgoers can carry guns. Democrats are attacked verbally at their booth, while Republicans are not. There's an underlying current of resentment, bigotry, and the camaraderie of people of a certain culture who feel safe among their own. It's scary to outsiders like me, a white liberal Democrat, retired and from the dreaded city. I no longer go, except do my shift at the Dem booth. In my opinion, the county fair is certainly a trope due to some disparagement for being a closed society, but of course with the disclaimer, not all white slash farm slash rural people, end quote. I hope this doesn't sound like I'm condemning people. I think they should own up to their culture. I love your podcast. I listen every day. Your humor and intelligence keeps me sane in this strange place.
That's a good point, Miriam. I think that there are assholes everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, you know, like certain types of folks like you're talking about, we see more Confederate flags at events like that or at certain music genre concerts or at certain rallies in certain areas. I know that I saw a lot of, not MAGA because of course it was a million years ago, but in the military, there's a lot of that right wing culture. It just tends to be more there. And there is a camaraderie. But yeah, I think, you know, I can see where both of y'all are coming from. I just don't want to generalize everyone who goes to the fair. I mean, here in California, you know, Del Mar Fair, super diverse, and we don't see any Confederate flags. They're probably not allowed. But I could see how in some areas they may be. And so, yeah, no.
I think a lot of in humor in general and things that we say is very subjective. And I do want to say this, and as a comedian and Allison, I'm sure you could agree. I could do an hour of comedy. There's going to be someone in the audience that really is offended by a particular joke, but they're not offended by the other 49 minutes of jokes that I'm talking about. Other people, and if you've ever been to my show, I don't punch down. Like, I'm not making fun of groups. It's the thing is that oftentimes we are talking about our own experiences at places and things and people. You know, I used to tell a joke talking about how my mom was in the casinos, and she was playing. She comes up to me. She's freaking out. She was in there for 12 hours, and she said, "Dana, I'm down 1,700," and I'm like, "Mom, I'll get," she was playing the penny slots. I'm like, "Mom, I'll give you $20. You can go play for another 3 hours." Because it was $1,700 is $17. And I had someone come up to me after my show and say, "Dana, that joke is perpetuating the stereotype that Jews are cheap." And I had to say to her, that was my experience with my mother. That was what was happening. And so sometimes when people hear things, they have a certain intrinsic response to it. And it definitely, and I don't like to throw way around this word, but it triggers them for some reason. And it's, you always have to look
probably
at
because of their personal experience.
Their personal experience. And you have to look at the person who's delivering the information and intent is also a big thing to be taken into consideration. I will also say, if someone says to me, I'm offended, I will never say to them, they are not. I will honor it. And I will honor that. But just know that if it does happen on the podcast, you all have been so good about saying, I know it wasn't intentional. I just want you to hear the way it sounds to me. Yeah. And my experience. And so there's going to be both sides of this, and I'm not both sizing things, but one person really loves the county fairs, and another person just has not had the best experiences of them. And we're all going to be living with that. So I'm glad more people are writing in and talking about both sides of these things.
Yeah. And I agree. Keep sending them in, everybody. Next up, your pal, Matt in Lancaster, PA. Aloha, darling beans pals. I'm writing a quick spouse shout out that doubles as an eclipse story. You're married to the sun? Cool. This, of course, is about my bonkers epic wife, Becca. Yep. Hi, Matt and Becca, who some might remember due to her general awesomeness, hotness, and goodness.
I love this couple.
I know. My favorite. Bex has recently been encouraging me to get back into landscape photography, which I did professionally for the 10 amazing years I spent living on Kauai.
Ooh.
It's a good place to do it.
Yeah.
She even wanted me to spend some of our precious money to buy a new camera and a lens that allowed me to take this eclipse shot. I can't stress how amazing it is to have such an absurdly supportive partner who believes in your art, even if your crippling ADHD prevents you from being able to monetize it. We spent a wonderful 2 days in the unexpectedly cute town of Sandusky, Ohio, and had our minds melted by the eclipse. It was the single most incredible natural thing I've ever witnessed. And I've seen some things no other humans have. We also found a queer owned and operated taco bar called O Taco in Sandusky. We both fell pretty madly in love with an amazing non-binary bartender there. And I'm sure we'll be back to Sandusky at some point to support such a queer loving town.
Oh, lovely.
Pics are attached or one of my shots of the eclipse.
Wow.
Becca being both adorable and a smoke show. And me leaping into the air in excitement like the 12-year-old I really am. During totality. Holy
Look
shit.
At this shot. Yeah. The places where there's totality and people had different cameras, different lenses, different coverings on their camera, or if there was a cloudy day or a clear day, all the shots look different. This one looks like there was a tiny bit of overcast in the sky, not a thick cloud, but enough that it radiated this into the surrounding. This is beautiful.
It's incredible.
Oh my God, you guys are so cute.
Oh, I know. Look, there's
Matt.
Becca.
Look at your joyful, just jumping exuding from these photos.
Wish I could have been there.
I know. So good. Okay. This is from RGB. Almost notorious. Pronoun she and her. Dearest AG and Dana, you are the best thing to happen to media. Oh my gosh. Thank you. Community is not something I do easily. I'm suspicious of anyone who has a uniform like Birkenstocks or haircut number 37. But loving inclusive politics and justice expansive swearing is totally my jam. Huge gratitude for those who send their good news and for all the joy we then get to share. I love you all. I want to shout out my wife, Christy Furness. That was very specific. As their first book, and that is why, is just out now from the preemie who went home in a shoebox to the artist and author you are. Honey, you are an inspiration. You make advocacy sexy and gentle kindness easy. Your graphic memoir, Crazy Like a Fox, Adventures in Schizophrenia, this is from Street Noise Books, is a triumph. Representation matters in an age where everyone is talking about mental health. Psychotic illness remains a boogie. When depression and bipolar illness, there is a pantheon of celebrities, artists, writers, politicians can look up to as heroes. Those with schizophrenia don't have that long list. Christy, I've seen your work as a disability advocate, how people respond to you, to your dimples and your drawings with both delight and relief. And, that connection with previously terrifying others is so easy, rewarding, and fun. Christy, with your desire to start conversations and make people laugh from deep in the hell of it, you are part of the change we need. Crazy Like a Fox is an artist coming-of-age story. Fox is a kit alone in a new city, looking for friends, love, and job and housing. All this comes easily until it goes terribly wrong, as things do for those in the middle of mental illness that they didn't know anything about. There's a lot to navigate. jellyfish boss ladies, scary sock puppet doctors, and new concepts like therapy groups. But with teddy bear and goth fairy friends, finding one's pluck and the right resources isn't impossible. And art is everything. The book will make you laugh and cry. If you had a major encounter with the mental industry complex, the mental health industrial complex, you might see yourself. If you haven't, you might now imagine what that experience can be like. Two takeaways. If your meds are not working, speak up. There are others to try. And keep your sense of humor. Without it, we're fucked. Christy, you are my puzzle piece and you make my dreams bigger. Goodness, I love you. We are forever, and rest assured, you will never we will never look alike. Christy is a baby and in bookstore, plus a wedding picker attached for pod pet tax. Oh my goodness. RGB, you guys are adorable, and the love obviously for your wife is extraordinary. This submission obviously got me in my feels. There's going to be a link to this book in our show notes, which sounds phenomenal, by the way. And there she is, holding Crazy Like a Fox, Adventures in Schizophrenia from Christy Furness.
Look at that beautiful wedding photo.
Oh, you guys are gorgeous.
Right?
I love this. Thank you so much for this. This is an amazing end to the good news. It's a good day when someone makes me cry with happy tears.
I know, me too. I was getting a little choked up too. I'm glad you had to read this one because I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. And all the links are going to be in the show notes, everybody, for everything that we talked about today. And if you have good news, send it to us at dailybeanspod.com and click on contact. Remember to check out danagoldberg.com for comedy tickets and gala tickets. Check out allisongill.com for Daily Beans live tickets. And do you have any final thoughts before we get out of here for one more day this week? We got Fuglesang Friday tomorrow, and then it's the weekend.
I won't be here tomorrow. I'm going to be in flight traveling down to Fort Lauderdale. So thank you all for a wonderful week. And I look forward to sharing my birthday with a couple of you. And I will be back in your ears on Monday for sure. So I'm cool. Looking forward to it.
I will hold down the fort tomorrow. See what kind of shenanigans I can come up with while you're gone.
Do it.
She's out of town. Let's have a party. Let's have a kegger. Guys, Illuminati, let's do a kegger. Except can we actually just have good alcohol? Like, I mean, I guess they put good beer in kegs. I'll go down to Thorn Street Brewery. We'll figure it out. somebody else needs to pump the keg, though, because I don't know.
You know what? I'll take a bourbon. If you want to send me a bourbon or a tequila, that's my jam. Not
a
beer girl.
You're out of town. You don't even know this party's going on.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You guys know how to find me.
There's another party.
I told you the venue I'm going to be at.
Party in Fort Lauderdale, for sure.
Oh, my God. Whenever people send shots to the stage, there's been times where I've had to coyote ugly it, where I have to tell the bartender when I'm at a club, if anyone comes to buy me a shot of tequila, put water in there, and that's it. And just I'll make my face look like it hurt a lot.
Now, coyote uglying it is when you have a beer bottle on stage with you, like you're chasing your shot with a beer, but you're actually spitting the shot into the beer bottle.
Yep. Done that.
Make sure not to do Heineken because they can see the beer you spit back into the thing. It's got to be a nice dark bottle.
Got to be a dark.
All right,
Guinness,
everybody.
A Guinness bottle.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. All right. I'll be back in your ears tomorrow. Me and Dana will be back on. I'll be back in your ears tomorrow. And then Dana and I will be back on Monday, and
yes.
I'll tell you all about the Jack podcast later on tomorrow's show. Until then, everybody, please take care of yourselves, take care of each other, take care of the planet, take care of your mental health, take care of your family. Vote blue over Q.
And please take all your family with you.
I've been AG.
And I've been DG.
And them's the Beans.
The Daily Beans is written and executive produced by Allison Gill, with additional research and reporting by Dana Goldberg. Sound design and editing is by Desiree McFarlane, with art and web design by Joelle Reeder with Moxie Design Studios. Music for The Daily Beans is written and performed by They Might Be Giants, and the show is a proud member of the MSW Media Network, a collection of creator-owned podcasts dedicated to news, politics, and justice. For more information, please visit mswmedia.com.
MSW Media.
Hi, this is John Cryer, and I am hosting a new 7-part true crime podcast called Lawyers, Guns, and Money. That'll challenge everything you think you know about U.S. covert operations and presidential misconduct. From Jack Bryan, the director of American PSYOP, comes the incredible true story of John Mattis, a newly sworn-in Miami public defender in the 1980s who has found himself completely in over his head.
I
step off the plane, and there is a van with a couple guys with Uzis. And one of them in broken English said, "Welcome to Bogota, John."
Mattis' first felony defendant has been arrested for having a machine gun and tells Mattis a dangerous secret.
He was shipping arms into Central America on behalf of the CIA. As a first-time lawyer, I want to act like I know what I'm doing.
But with the help of a Colombian drug smuggler...
How much money the CIA raised by hitting up drug dealers?
A lot of money, millions of dollars.
An Alabama mercenary...
They were prepared to die to the last man. I saw this in them. I saw the fire in their eyes. And they made me their war chief.
And a newly elected senator, John Kerry.
We are looking at allegations of drug running, gun smuggling, conspiracy to commit murder and murder itself.
He'll fight to free his client.
The judge said, show me in a courtroom how we were at war.
Expose an illegal war being run by the White House.
I mean, I wanted him involved, but I didn't want to be on record as doing it.
And somehow stay alive in the process.
I just escaped a kidnapping by the CIA in Costa Rica.
This is Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
So you have a man in an Armani suit standing in the bow of a boat with a rocket launcher and says, if I lose sight of you, I will launch. You will be vaporized.
Available everywhere starting October 29th, or get it ad-free and early starting October 22nd at lawyersgunsandmoney.supercast.com. There you'll find bonus episodes along with exclusive content. Subscribe now.